Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of John chapter 1. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 21, let us stand together as we begin reading from John chapter 1, verse 21, as we continue our series here in the book of John. Someone said, Pastor Paul, if you take as long in each chapter as you have in chapter 1, we'll be in this book for a decade. I said, well, we won't be doing that. But beginning at verse 21, and they asked him, what then, art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they said, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that when a need was seen and a Savior was needed, that God the Son was willing to do it, that he was willing to come and to die on a cross that we might have salvation. We pray, Lord, now that you would bless this time. May the Spirit move. And Lord, we pray that souls could even be saved this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And let's begin reading again, be at verse 29 down through verse 34. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. In your mind's eye, as we think of some of the things that we have just read, ponder what we have just read. Not that you just have heard the words, but in your mind's eye, see it happening. See John the Baptist being questioned by the priests and the Levites and the Pharisees. And they ask the question, who art thou? And he responded by saying, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the ways of the Lord. And how do we make straight the way for the Lord? It's by repenting. That was kind of weak. Maybe you didn't know I was hoping for an amen or two or 10 or 12. But the best way to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord is to repent. John the Baptist preached repent ye. We find that in Matthew 3, verse 2. We find in the book of Mark, chapter 1, after John the Baptist was put into prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, may I say this? If when John the Baptist preached repent, and when Jesus said repent, and when we read in just a moment that the 12 disciples that were sent out said repent, do you think it was just for that period of time? Or do you think it is for all time that men and women need to repent? See, the problem is today is that we don't want to blame anybody for any actions that they do. That they can all blame it on someone else. Well, if this hadn't happened, I wouldn't have done it. Oh, never take blame for yourself. No, the Lord says that we need to repent. When Jesus sent out the 12 disciples found in Mark 6, they preached that men should repent. According to Matthew 3, the news of John's dynamic preaching spread like wildfire. Matthew 3, 5 says, then went out to him, that being John the Baptist, went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan. Now, you have to understand, they were living in a day before CNN. They were living in a day before Fox News. Let me throw something in here just because I want to get it off my chest. How many months is it to the election of our next president? 10 months? Are you like me? I am sick and tired already of all the stuff going on. I'm just sick and tired. I don't care if they're all going to Iowa or not. I'm not going to Iowa tomorrow. But they went out from Jerusalem and Judea and the other side of Jordan to hear this one that was preaching. John never gave himself airs. In fact, he said, I must decrease and he must increase. He simply proclaimed the truth and he let the chips fall where they may. See, I can preach, but you have to respond as the Holy Spirit deals with you. It's your decision what you do with what the Word of God has to say. Paul to the young preacher Timothy said in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And yet how many churches today have some pastor get up and say, I'm okay, you're okay, come as you are and leave as you were. Folks, when you come to church, you should come with the idea of having the Lord deal with your heart. And if there is an issue in your heart that needs to be changed and he is dealing with you about that, you need to do it. You need to change if he's telling you that. John the Apostle records what John the Baptist declares, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He is the one that taketh away the sin of the world. You see those bumper stickers that say coexist. You cannot coexist with those that are false religions. You cannot coexist with those that are false doctrines. You may tolerate them and you may put up with them, but there is only one way into heaven and that is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. All other ways are false ways. All other ways are like a thief trying to break into your house. And we must be prepared to meet our Maker because one out of one dies. And we're all going to. Behold, look, see, observe, take note, don't ignore, don't neglect. How often there is something going on in your car, and as one mechanic said, if you don't like the noise, turn up the radio. But how often do we neglect to take care of something because it's going to cost us time or effort or energy, or we don't know what's going on and we can't find an answer, and we say, well, I'll just live with it. Sometimes you don't want to live with it. Don't neglect what is needed. Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Don't neglect it. Behold the Lamb of God. Quickly, Revelation chapter 5, if you would, please. Revelation chapter 5. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Revelation chapter 5. Behold the Lamb of God. We had the memory verse today that Dr. Mark talked about, the Passover, and how it was a picture of the coming Lamb and the shed blood. And we find in verse 1 of chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side sealed with seven seals. Now, who is the I that I saw? Who is that? That is John. Not John the Baptist, but John the Apostle. And verse 2 says, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. May I say this, even though it doesn't say it, it is saying that there is salvation in any man that's ever walked on earth. No man can save us. Jesus Christ came and walked as a man, but there's only salvation through him. Verse 4 says, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Verse 5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, which prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. Who is this lamb? It's Jesus Christ. He is able to open the book. Down to verse 12, if you would, please. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. As I stand behind this pulpit, my desire would never be to take any of the glory or praise or whatever that belongs to Jesus Christ. I don't believe any pastor or any singer or any quartet or anyone that does anything to help with the worship service should ever try to take any of the glory that belongs to our Lord. For he has done it all. And we are simply his servants. If you would, turn back a few books to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll read verses 18 through 20. Behold the Lamb of God. It's very important that we give Jesus Christ his right place. Folks, religion will not get us into heaven. Being a part of a certain church will not get us into heaven. When we have baptism, and though we haven't baptized in a while, being baptized will not get you into heaven. The works of man will not get you there. Salvation comes only through the shed blood of Christ. And as we begin in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It tells us in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. All have sinned. Every one of us in this room. Don't think, well, my grandma. No, your grandma sinned. Don't think, well, Pastor Ted Madonna. No. Brother Madonna, I know he sinned at least once. Twice? Okay. You say, well, how about Pastor Paul's wife, Donna? A nice woman. Yes, she is. But let me tell you this. She sinned once in a while. I know. Is there anybody in this room that's never sinned? All of us have sinned. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We deserve hell fire, but we can have the gift of eternal life because of Jesus Christ. If you would, quickly to the book of Ephesians. You say, Pastor Paul, why do you keep saying quickly? Folks, I'm getting hungry. And I want to get through my notes so we can go downstairs. But I believe it's very important that we tell you the importance of the shed blood of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, "And you hath he quickened," or "you that he hath made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." We find if you're spiritually dead because of your sins. "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And folks, he is working hard today. He knows his time is short, and Satan is doing everything possible to draw people away from God, to make people believe we don't need Jesus Christ. He's working hard. But verse 3 says, "Among whom also we all had our conversation," or our lifestyle, "in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God," don't you love those two words? "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." John 3, verse 16. Probably everyone in this room, if they could not quote it word for word, could probably get it very close. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." A sacrifice was needed to satisfy God Almighty for the sin of mankind. There was not anything that any of us could do that God would look at and say, "That's good enough for you to get into heaven." He tells us in the book of Isaiah that our best are as filthy rags. And a sacrifice was needed. A ransom was needed to be paid. The price of our redemption. Who? What? How? What would be accepted by a holy God? A holy God. You know, when we compare ourselves with ourselves, we're pretty good, right? I mean, we live a pretty good life. I mean, I haven't killed anybody lately. You know, I try to be nice. Try. I pay my bills. I pay my taxes. You know, I brought up my kids and they graduated high school and graduated college and, you know, they've got their families. You know, I'm a nice guy. Is that good enough to get me into heaven? It's not. It's not good enough. God did not say that he was satisfied with that. God would only be satisfied with the death of God. You say, what are you talking about? God the Father sent God the Son to die for us. And that's why on the third day, he arose from the dead, because God could not die. He died as the man, but he lives today as God. So God the Father sent God the Son. It tells us in Matthew 20, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. When Christ was taken and arrested and put on a cross, it was not a mistake. Jesus Christ came to die because of our sins. He came to die. Quickly, the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 22. We'll begin reading at verse 39. Luke 22, verse 39. Verse 29, and he, that being Jesus, came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. When he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He knew what lay ahead. He knew that he would go through the mockery of a trial and that he would be beaten. That wasn't the worst, folks. He would be put on a cross, and there on the cross he would bear the sins of all believers. Now you ponder your sins. And you're able to live with it. But can you imagine adding 10 more people, their sins to your life? How hard that would be? Multiply it times thousands by millions. And he had to bear these sins. And he died for them so that we might be saved. Jesus Christ was chosen. We think of God, how he chose Jonah to go to the Ninevites and to tell them that unless they turn from their wicked way, they would face God's punishment. And if we are true followers of God, he has given us the same instructions to take the message of the good news to a world blinded by sin. Was Jonah happy with this assignment God had given him? He was not. Number one, he didn't like the Ninevites because they were Assyrians. And number two, Jonah wanted them to be punished for all the hurtful things they had done to the Israelites through the years. So Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh and proclaim the truth. Instead, he thought, I'll go to Tarshish, which was about 2,500 miles away from Nineveh. He went in the other direction. He thought God would forget all about him. He thought wrong, didn't he? See, sometimes we think that God may want us to do something, and we say, I'm not going to do it. I just simply won't. And Jonah didn't care if he was disobedient or not. The message needed to be taken. And Jonah, who had been chosen to give it, was that they needed to repent. And according to 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is long-suffering to us who are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, only you know today if there are things between you and the Lord that need to be taken care of. Only you know if you've ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Only you know if you are prepared to meet your Maker. But He does give you time to get things right. When we obey God, our hearts are tender. Whereas sin hardens our hearts like calluses. I remember when I was in elementary school and junior high school. You remember how you used to write all the time and you'd get that little callus on your finger? Yes, I understand that a lot of schools today don't teach cursive. Not cursing, cursive. And it's amazing that there are so many that don't know how to read cursive. In fact, someone once said not too long ago, they said the only cursive most people do today is to write out their name. The rest of the time, they're printing. But do you remember that callus that you get on your finger? That callus finally has gone away because I don't write as much as I used to. You know, today we have our, you know, keyboards. So we go that way. But what causes a callus on our hearts? What causes that callus to grow so that we don't obey the Word of God? May I say a lot of it's rebellion. It's unconcern for God's way. It's a non-committal to accept the Lord's way and to follow His way. But we need to remove the callus and turn our hearts over to the Lord. I have conclusion. Do you like that word, conclusion? Don't say amen. Jesus was, is, shall ever be concerned about our spiritual condition. May I say this? God the Father, God the Godhead loved not only Israel, but He loved the people of Nineveh. See, He loves the souls of mankind, and He wants people to get saved. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He paid the price, the precious Lamb of God. Shall we stand together for a time of invitation? We're going to be singing number 17, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. His desire is for us to allow Him to have His way, to get our hearts right with Him. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you in a right relationship with Him today? If not, you can get it right before you go home. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, as we have this invitation time, we ask that You would bless as the Spirit moves, as touch our hearts are touched, asking, Lord, that Your will would be done. In Jesus' name, amen.